This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Later on, a path-breaking victory for the Fourth Amendment against the National Security Agency. But first, whistleblower Edward Snowden, who revealed the mass surveillance programs organized by the U.S. and other governments, gave this year's The Alternative Christmas message on Britain's Channel 4.
Hi, and Merry Christmas. I'm honored to have a chance to speak with you and your family this year. Recently, we learned that our governments, working in concert, have created a system of worldwide mass surveillance, watching everything we do. Great Britain's George Orwell warned us of the danger of this kind of information. The types of collection in the book, microphones and video cameras, TVs that watch us, are nothing compared to what we have available today. We have sensors in our pockets that track us everywhere we go. Think about what this means for the privacy of the average person. A child born today will grow up with no conception of privacy at all. They'll never know what it means to have a private moment to themselves, an unrecorded, unanalyzed thought. And that's a problem, because privacy matters. Privacy is what allows us to determine who we are and who we want to be. The conversation occurring today will determine the amount of trust we can place both in the technology that surrounds us and the government that regulates it. Together, we can find a better balance, end mass surveillance, and remind the government that if it really wants to know how we feel, asking is always cheaper than spying. For everyone out there listening, thank you.
Now, ho, ho, ho. It's the holiday season, and we're calling, texting, emailing, and engaging in digital communication like never before. But at least, thanks to Edward Snowden, who initiated a historic debate about surveillance and privacy, we now know our private communications aren't as private as we thought. The NSA is tuning in and collecting massive amounts of our data.
But perhaps Judge Richard Leon's recent court decision, the recommendations of a government panel on surveillance policy, and pressure on Congress to abolish the spy agency surveillance programs will finally dump the lump of coal in the NSA's stocking it so deserves.
Here to shed light on how the government is collecting, sharing, and storing our data, and to parse out the significance of the recent federal court decision and analyze the government panel's recommendation on changes to the NSA, and discuss what else we need to do to protect our privacy, is Brett Kaufman with the ACLU's National Security Project.
Thanks for having me.
It's completely our pleasure. And should we just forward a copy of the program to the NSA to save them some time?
I don't think we have to.
I guess not.
No.
We'll just let them do it themselves.
Right.
But, you know, I was rather elated to read Judge Richard Leon's federal court decision, which is the first really adversarial, controversial decision that's come up before the court, because it seems to me to be path-breaking in terms of protecting the Fourth Amendment. So why don't you tell us what your feelings are about it and what you think the salient recommendations, particularly given the fact that Judge Leon is extremely conservative, a Bush appointee, and I was certainly taken aback by his ruling.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely a remarkable ruling for a lot of reasons, some that you just mentioned. But I think perhaps the most important one is that it's the first chance that a federal judge has been able to consider the legality and constitutionality of this government surveillance program in an adversarial setting, hearing argument from both plaintiffs and the government, and forcing the government to respond to the best arguments on the other side. We've heard a lot over the last 5 or 6 months since we learned about this program from the government, saying on more than one occasion that the phone metadata program has been approved by 15 different judges on more than 30 occasions in the FISC. And really the main problem with that statistic is that it spoke only to one-sided adversarial secret proceedings. And here we have the first chance for a federal judge to hear both sides of the argument, and he decides that the collection is likely to violate the Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. And that's a very, very big deal. Another aspect of the ruling that I think everyone took note of was that the judge really did not spare his words at all here. He called the collection almost Orwellian and spoke very strongly about what the government is doing and how serious a violation of privacy rights it is. Another defense we've heard from the government, really since the first day that Mr. Snowden or articles were published based on documents released by Mr. Snowden, was that this is just metadata, that only the numbers you dialed are being collected and who you call, and we're not listening to any of your phone calls. And that's been, you know, kind of a recurring defense from all these government officials, from the president down to Director Alexander of the NSA and Director Clapper. But really, Judge Leon does an excellent job of explaining why metadata can be extremely sensitive, especially when aggregated over this extraordinary time period. The government has been doing this for about 7 years, and it says that in its databases it has 5 years' worth of this information. And Judge Leon, I think, did an excellent job in explaining why tying together that information and having it at the hands of the government it presents a very serious intrusion on Americans' privacy, and it's a really welcome statement.
Let me also just backtrack for a moment, because I'm still not sure that people really understand and they take for granted the accumulation of metadata. It's just raw data. It doesn't have any real substance. So how is it impositional or really become an invasion of privacy? Not to matter how could it possibly do what it portends to do, which is to uncover and deal with quote-unquote terrorist plots. So if you could just maybe tune us into that so that people understand how serious and impositional the collection of metadata is.
Sure. Just to kind of describe the program, basically it takes all of Americans' fault call records and places them into an enormous database. And by doing that, it essentially gives government ready access to some of the innermost details of our private lives. The ACLU has filed a lawsuit against this program in New York, and we had a technology expert submit a declaration in the case. And he explains that telephony metadata can reveal information that's even more sensitive than the contents of a communication, especially when it's aggregated. It can tell you so much about a person's life, a religion, political associations, whether you're contemplating suicide, whether you're contemplating abortion, addiction to gambling or drugs if you're calling certain hotlines, experience with rape, difficulty struggling with sexuality. And you don't need to listen to someone speaking on the phone when they're calling those kinds of numbers in order to know what the phone call is about. And so the line from the government that metadata simply isn't that revealing, it's stated as simply a conclusion. And really, when Americans think about it, they understand that this is extraordinarily sensitive information. All of this is kind of based on a very old case from the Supreme Court that dealt with a criminal suspect who, and the government got a pen register which recorded the numbers he dialed over 2 days' time. And they had reason to suspect he was making harassing phone calls to another woman. And the court said that that individual didn't have a reasonable expectation of privacy in those numbers dialed. And part of the reason was that he was sharing those numbers with the phone company, that he understood that by dialing the numbers, the phone company would have records of this. Now, this case has now come, in the government's mind at least, to stand for the principle that it can collect the phone calls records of every American citizen.
That's Obama's major argument. He's harkened back to that, 1997 case, was it?
1979, even older than that. It's a case called Smith v. Maryland. And, you know, there's a really interesting report on NPR the other day with the Attorney General for Maryland, who actually argued the case. He won the case for the state of Maryland, and the individual was the conviction was upheld. And he said that, you know, that was not even, the metadata program is not even remotely close to the principle he was arguing for in defending the judgment there. And so even the man who won Smith v. Maryland says that Smith v. Maryland doesn't go nearly as far as the government wants it to. And I think Judge Leon did a really excellent job in explaining why Smith simply doesn't mean all of that. We use the phone a lot more than we do now. It's just more of a second nature technology, and you know, back in 1979, there were even, you might even have to say the phone number out loud in order to have the phone company connect the call. And so the notion that that case authorizes the kind of mass surveillance that's going on here, I think in the court of public opinion has been rejected over the last 6 months, and now finally a federal judge has done the same thing.
It's either Judge Leon's case or the ACLU case, which I believe you argued last month, impact on any determination on internet data, emails, and so on and so forth?
Well, our case is pending a decision in the district court, and both of these cases, one was filed in D.C., the Electronic Frontier Foundation has a similar case out in the Northern District of California, and all of them challenge this phone tracking program. They do not challenge the collection of internet data. The government recently declassified on Friday that it did collect internet metadata for some period of time, both under President Bush's warrantless wiretapping program and then later under certain FISA authorities under the supervision of the FISC. But it says that collection was discontinued in late 2011, and we don't have any reason to believe it's actually occurring under FISA authorities. Now, there have been reports that internet,
and of course, FISA is the Federal Review Court that exclusively has been dealing with the application of government for these warrantless intrusions.
Right. That's right. The FISC is the court, the secret court in Washington, D.C., comprised of federal judges who secure government applications for surveillance in secret. It was established in the wake of the Church Committee's report about NSA domestic spying that alarmed many, many Americans and all of Congress. And it was put in place to put a check on the executive's domestic surveillance activities. And for a long time, it was a court that approved individualized warrants for surveillance, much like courts do, state courts and federal courts do, all the time. But in the wake of the President Bush's warrantless wiretapping program, it came to start to approve kind of programmatic surveillance and the bulk collection of data in a role that it really wasn't designed for, and it led to some serious abuses of privacy that we're just learning about this summer.
Brett, I want to go back to Judge Leon's recommendations now. I assume this is going to wind up going up to the Supreme Court, and I'm of a mixed mind. On one hand, I thought, groundbreaking, wonderful. This will be the push to really haul in the NSA, if not, frankly, as some of us would want, literally eliminate it. But on the other hand, I'm also worried that a subsequent loss, or this could really increase the naysayers to wind up with legislation that's even more conclusive and supportive of exactly the mechanisms that have been used and the leniency with which they are used to collect our data. I mean, I'm even thinking about certainly people like Dianne Feinstein, who have an incredibly hawkish report, which may not, or hawkish legislation, it may not have gotten fully accepted. But what are your thoughts on one or both of those propositions, really? A kind of bite back, or on the other hand, taking us forward?
Yeah, well, there's certainly legislation from Senator Feinstein and others that would not only endorse the practices as they are now, but seemingly expand them to other kinds of data. And we reject that approach. And I think last week was a major rejection of that approach from both the President's handpick review group as well as Judge Leon. And when you're looking at where this debate is headed, I think it's much more likely that the momentum is on the side of legislation like the USA Freedom Act, which was proposed by Senator Leahy and Representative Sensenbrenner. It would do a lot of good to reform these mass surveillance practices. It would end the bulk collection of phone records, and it would end certain practices that are violative of Americans' First Amendment and Fourth Amendment rights associated with other kinds of bulk collection programs and mass surveillance programs. The President's Review Group, which essentially rebuked many of the current NSA practices, it told the government to get out of the business of mass collection of this phone data, and it kind of also represented a new approach to balancing liberty and security, and accepting that the only risks that we're talking about here are not just risks to national security, but there are risks to our society and to privacy in overdoing it on the side of law enforcement and counterterrorism. And I think it was an incredibly honest and well-researched 300-page report from a group that many expected not to challenge the NSA at all. And so it was a really remarkable week. And I think that we're really looking at a chance for real change, both in Congress and through the courts.
You know, one of the things that was said in relationship to the report, and it's probably the only time in the last 2 years that any of us remember that there's been some sort of bipartisan consensus in a panel. But in any event, one of the things that Obama was certainly hinting at before he jetted off to Hawaii was the issue that somehow it was preferable in some ways for the collection of data to stay with the telecommunication industry than going to government. And I wonder what your thoughts are on that matter.
We welcome the president's willingness to consider the panel's recommendation to get the government out of that business. And we think that's a really important step and an important recognition both on the president's part and on the panel's part. Now, the panel did kind of float the idea of keeping the data in a database held by a third party or perhaps in some kind of consortium with the telecommunications companies. Keeping the data together in this kind of database over such a long period of time presents the same kinds of privacy intrusions and threats to associational privacy and associational freedom under the First Amendment that the government's access does. And so we reject that approach as well. We think that as Senator Wyden and Senator Udall have been saying for quite some time, there's very little evidence that there's actually no evidence that this program has been effective in the way the government says it's supposed to operate, and that the government could do it through regular law enforcement authorities by going to a court and specifically identifying the individuals who it's interested in. It could get all of this kinds of data through regular law enforcement means, and there's really no need to keep a massive database of Americans' associations in order to accomplish it.
Is this data exclusively of use just to the NSA, or is the FBI and other agencies using it also?
Well, the NSA houses it, and then the FBI makes requests for to query the data based on its own internal executive branch assessment of what's called reasonable articulable suspicion. This is a really low standard in the law. It's the same standard that you need to stop someone on the street. And obviously in New York, we've seen how controversial and violative that could be of constitutional rights as well with the Stop and Frisk program. And so this is really not a demanding standard, and it does allow access to the results of this data to other agencies. And, of course, there's a lot of worry that once you put a system like this in place, there's a kind of mission creep where you have it, and it becomes very easy for government to rationalize greater access throughout the government, because certainly this kind of information could be useful in a lot of contexts to the government, and there's nothing in principle stopping it at national security reasons, and that's certainly a realistic fear, I think, for many Americans.
And just as we wind up, where do we need to go from here? What would be the immediate wish list of the ACLU?
Well, I think number one, we want an end to this mass call tracking program and the collection of American phone records. That's simply not compatible with the Fourth Amendment, as Judge Leon said, and it's working a serious privacy violation against all Americans on a daily basis. There are a lot of recommendations that the review panel also recommended that we would support. One would be greater limits on the surveillance of foreign people. Right now it can be collected based on the kind of vague and broad definition of foreign intelligence. One recommendation was limiting that to national security reasons, and that would be a really important step to kind of limit the intrusion to others as well.
Well, Brett, we're going to actually have to leave it there because I want to get in a special holiday song that was done by the ACLU, which also give us some further ideas of what we need to do to maintain and indeed take back our privacy. And I really want to thank Brett Kaufman with the ACLU's National Security Project, and I hope you'll join us again to continue to look at this critical issue.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, let's not miss the song.
And let's hear what the ACLU has to tell us.
Ah, the holiday season. A time for celebration, magic, and spending time with the people you love. But don't forget who's watching to make sure you're not being naughty.
You better watch out. You better not Skype. You better log out. Yeah, you better not type. The NSA is coming to town. You're making a list. They're checking it twice. They're watching almost every electronic device. The NSA is coming to town. They see when you are sleeping. They hear while you're awake. They know who you call and who you write. So encrypt for goodness sake. With Congress in the dark and a cloak and dagger court, we're looking for answers and they're coming up short. The NSA is coming to town. They're making a list, checking it twice. They're watching almost every electronic device. The NSA is coming to town. The NSA is coming to town. The NSA is coming to town.
You wouldn't let government agents spy on your special holiday moments in person. Why are we letting them do it in the digital world? Help us end the NSA's unlawful spying programs.
Thanks to that song for what it says and for its great, who knew? Who knew the ACLU has such musical capabilities?
They have a whole division, the musical division of the ACLU.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Since Judge Richard Leon's path-breaking decision, finding the NSA phone surveillance likely unconstitutional, Judge Pauley, another federal judge in Manhattan, upheld the legality of the NSA's collection of millions of Americans' telephone records. The ACLU, who brought the New York case, promised to appeal Judge Pauley's decision to the Second Circuit Court of Appeal. It is likely that both cases will now move to appeals courts, in a conflict that some believe will eventually be settled by the Supreme Court. The chances are that the nation's top court will address the issue increase if the appeals courts reach differing opinions or if the current use of the program is declared illegal. And now, in a video produced with the ACLU, film director Oliver Stone shares some of his reflections on the NSA spying program and the disastrous legacy of unchecked government abuse of power.
Let me ask a very simple question. Does it concern you that the government is spying on you? 30 years ago, to even ask this question would have been a scandal. If you lived through Watergate, if you read the Church Committee reports, you know the costs of unchecked government surveillance. The government is exploiting our amnesia. We did not pass the Fourth Amendment in order to protect those with something to hide. We passed that amendment, which prohibits general warrants or limitless surveillance, because we know all too well the cost of an unaccountable government. The question is not, do you have something to hide? The question is whether we control government or the government controls us. Remember, this struggle is part of who we are as a people. This country was born in rebellion because the British government was exerting too much control over American lives. We broke free and began to create a system of government meant to protect liberty. Our national history reveals a constant struggle to stay true to this value. We face one of those moments of struggle right now. Recent leaks have given us a glimpse into our government's gigantic surveillance machine. It's a machine that is eating our freedom. If this concerns you, and it should, you need to contact your representatives in Congress now. Ask them to end the tracking of Americans' domestic communications. I won't stand idly by while our civil liberties are eaten by the NSA's surveillance machine. You shouldn't either.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.